Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Sports Community Radio with your hosts, Joe Novella and Steve Pallas. Steve, how are you, mate?
Yeah, Joe, I'm very well. I'm not in the studio today.
Up
the Murray at Echuca.
So I had a look around. I said, where's me partner in crime? And I've got no seat. I've got no one in the seat next to me.
Yeah, I've kind of come up to our cabin in Echuca to write a lot of the training sessions for the Bowls Victoria training. So I feel a little bit like Ernest Hemingway at Key West in Florida, stuck down there and get away from it all.
That's a bit scary, mate, because we're not as young as we once were, but we are making the use of this technology stuff, aren't we?
We are making the use of technology and. Well, if we're going to talk to clubs about how to use it, we need to be using it ourselves.
That's a very good point, actually. A very, very good point. We do talk a lot about how technology can help clubs out there, so we need to be showing them the way. I think that's a very, very good point. Now, whilst you're up there in your cabin there in Echuca, by the way, is it sunny up there, or what's the weather like?
Right now, it's actually raining.
Oh.
But it's raining. Up until now, it's been bright sunshine, clear skies, and low 20s.
Now, I want to talk to you about a particular... We talk a lot to clubs about fundraising and different tactics for social media and lots of different ways that they can help themselves. Now, one of the topics I just want to quickly touch on, which would be of incredible value to most parents, is you have three girls in your household, all three in the car. And how did you keep them occupied for that trip to Echuca?
Well, only two in the car this time, Joe. One recovering from a knee reconstruction chose not to come. But yes, two girls under two. Dora the Explorer videos, Joe. I can't begin to tell you how powerful Dora the Explorer is and also... The importance of timing, the importance of leaving on sleep time and making sure that the majority of the trip is undertaken when the children are asleep, and that when they are awake and they need to stop, that you kind of linked it up to a town. So it's a logistical nightmare, Joe.
Now, I tell you, there's a lot of advice that we've dished out on this radio show. I'm tipping that that there would be right up there with the top in terms of importance, because there'd be plenty of parents out there that know exactly what you're feeling like. Now, mate...
Yeah, the parents know what I'm feeling like, and those are our kids going, what is he talking about? Just get in the car and drive.
Now, getting on to all things sport, what's been happening in the world of grants this week?
Well, there's probably three grants that I want to draw your attention to, Joe. A couple of quite significant grants are about to close. In New South Wales, for rugby league clubs, there's a very large grant pool that's on offer in conjunction with New South Wales government and NRL. It's called the Footy Facilities Grant, and that's for rugby league clubs that are looking to either develop their facilities, refurbish their facilities. So there's up to $75,000 on offer, and that grant shuts on May the 30th. So still quite a bit of time to do the work that's required to get that grant.
Right, lovely.
Now, Victoria, the Victorian State Sport and Rec also has a similar grant that's not restricted to any club type. It's called the Victoria's Facility Funding Program. It shuts very, very, very quickly on the 30th of April, so not much time left to get your grant application in. And that pool of clubs can actually apply for up to $3 million worth of funding. So,
wow.
That's for, well, it can be up to completely new grant facility developments for $3 million gets you a pretty flash facility there, Joe. And so, but it's not just for new, and you don't have to apply any. It's up to $3 million, so any amount under that. So it's for planning and building, planning or building, so it can include just the planning and
yeah, design. I'd suggest there'd be a lot of clubs, that one would be well worth a look at, I would suggest.
Yeah, new planning and building new or existing facilities. So it's certainly not just for the new facilities, it's for upgrading existing facilities, Joe. So that's really, really cool.
Yep, fantastic.
If we jump across to the other side of the country and I guess a pool of money that we're really, really encouraging clubs to look at is in the WA government, or Sport and Recreation, is offering community participation funding. So it's looking at clubs to put together programs which they can get a grant for that encourages people from low groups of or groups that have traditionally low levels of participation to come and join the club or try the sport or experience the sport, and whether they join or not is hopefully a positive byproduct of it. But so people that traditionally don't play sports or are underrepresented in the sports, so whether it's people with disabilities, people from different cultures and linguistically diverse backgrounds, or the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders are also clearly identified as groups that clubs may wish to offer, create programs to encourage to join. So those grants are, that grant offered by WA Sport and Rec is between $1,000 and $5,000. So for that money, Joe, you can put together a really, really cool strategy to introduce your sport to new participants, and hopefully over time they become members of your club.
Absolutely. Now, what I suggest to everybody out there is make sure you go and visit us at www.sportscommunity.com.au. You'll see the grants tab there. Click on that. You'll see all the latest grants available, the ones that Steve has just spoken about, and very well worth your time and effort.
Absolutely. And if we've got a couple more minutes, Joe, just one more thing I would like to mention. While we were up at the Northern Territory, it was very, very big news that the Northern Territory government nearly tripled the sports voucher program that they had up there, which is an amazing concept, Joe, which we would love all state and territory governments to embrace, which is the territory were offering $75 per person, per junior, to subsidise the cost of membership fees within the clubs. But they've now increased that to $200 per person. So,
wow.
Two different vouchers during the year, $100, i.e. for the summer sports season, and $100 for the winter sports season. So clubs should be building their junior programs around attracting or encouraging their kids to bring as many of the vouchers to their club as they can.
So, look, we probably are running out of time, but this topic is so important. I just want to explore it a little bit further for the non-territorians out there. In terms of how this works, the voucher system, the territory government provides these vouchers, this voucher system, and clubs or individuals redeem them? Is that how it works?
They're issued through the schools to each young child.
Right.
And then the child takes it to the club, and the club redeems each voucher for what will be $100 now with sport and recreation and racing in the territory. So, and it's designed to offset the cost of their memberships and uniforms and potentially equipment, I think, but certainly membership. So it's a very big deal. That was launched, or the expansion of that program was announced when we were up there, Joe, and that was a very big deal for the territory, but really it's an amazing initiative for encouraging kids to get into sport.
Well, I would love to get the Chief Minister on our radio show just to talk about that a little bit further, because I think it would be of huge interest to the listening public out there, listening grassroots sports public. So we'll see what we can do. In the meantime, stay tuned to Sports Community Radio here on RPPFM. We've got plenty more to come for you after the break.
You're on RPP 98.7 and 98.3 on the peninsula.
You're listening to Sports Community Radio with your hosts, Joe Novella and Steve Pallas. Missed a couple of episodes? Don't worry. Simply visit our website at www.sportscommunityradio.com.au and download previous episodes to listen at your leisure. Sports Community Radio, another sports community digital production.
Community Radio here on RPPFM 98.7 on your dial, 98.3 in Frankston. Welcome back. We're going to be talking about Good Friday sport. It's a debate that's been raging for generations now as to whether we should be playing sport on Good Friday or not. And Steve, you're in Echuca at the moment, but you've got some intel on this particular subject.
Oh, well, not so much intel, Joe, but I did have the pleasure of going to the traditional Echuca United versus Moama clash in Echuca. That was in Echuca this year, and it was massive. It was massive. There would have been, somewhere between 2,000 and 4,000 people there, Joe. Crowds are always hard to gauge, but I'd certainly think maybe 2,500 to 3,000 people. So very much embraced by this community, and it was interesting when I bought the footy record. As I walked in the gate, I noticed that they had three matches on Good Friday,
yep.
And then another match on Easter Saturday, but including a twilight match on Good Friday. So that was interesting as well. And the neighbouring football league had five matches on Good Friday. So that's interesting to look at that. And I spoke to a few people at the football and. People like ourselves that have travelled up from Melbourne for the weekend or for the long weekend love the concept. But
yeah, I just want to open this up and look. I'll confess straight away. I'm not an expert on the historical data that relates to why we do or we don't play sport on Good Friday. But it's my assumption, and we did have a chat about this just before we went on to air. And correct me if I'm wrong. Your assumption as well, Steve, that the majority of the reason that we don't play sport on Good Friday is as a deference or as a sign of respect to the religious bodies that celebrate Good Friday as a religious event.
Yeah, look, again, I'm like you, Joe, far away from being an expert in this field, but that's my understanding from a historical perspective. But certainly over time, and it seems to be changing rapidly. I was on Google before the show, just having a look at what has been going on around Australia and also the world on Good Friday. And there's certainly a significant amount of sport, whether it be the professional sports. So like in the NRL, there was two games held over the weekend. Or international sport where there was race meetings held in England on Good Friday as well. And even our local football, the Moyne Springs European Football League, Joe, I think had multiple games on Easter, a Good Friday and Easter Saturday. So.
Yeah, so you know, I wonder if it's the professional bodies allowing the grassroots sports to have their time in the sun. Although I doubt it. I think it's more like we pointed out earlier in a show of respect to the religious organisations. But I guess the debate is now that we are diversifying, our population is inclusive of a number of different races and religions. A lot of these newer races and religions that have come to the country don't celebrate the Christian faith and don't celebrate the Good Friday and the Easter Monday holidays. So should we include their preferences for playing sport in our thinking on this topic?
Well, I guess it's a broader question about what role does religion play in the community, and what should we be respecting and what shouldn't we be respecting from a sport and recreation point of view. But it's interesting. I was talking to a number of people at the football, Joe. A number of them were in the queues for the canteen and maybe the odd beer. And it was interesting because a lot of the sports is played in the areas where the tourists go.
Yep.
And so we're seeing very large crowds in those areas, whether it be down the Mornington Peninsula, and I know Sorrento and Dramata played a big clash on the weekend, or up here on the Murray, because these are areas of where there's lots of holiday makers coming, very big crowds, very, very big crowds, as I said, 2,500 to 4,000, which they just wouldn't get in anywhere near, maybe a tenth of it in a normal home and away game. But it's challenging, you know, like it puts on another burden for the club or the volunteers. It means that while I'm up here at Echuca enjoying what we do traditionally, go to the football and watch these two teams play, but it means that the players and the volunteers, they actually don't get a break.
Yeah.
Or if they do, it's only a very, very short break. Well, it's a much shorter break because they've had to play on the Good Friday, and then, you know, recover on the Saturday and Sunday. So it's from it's an interesting perspective from a volunteer's point of view as well.
Yes.
Another burden. But there was a very common theme, and this was an Aussie Rules game we were watching. There was a very common theme amongst the senior executives within the two local clubs that it's really good that the AFL aren't playing because it means that, you know, it maximises the community involvement in the game.
Yep.
Whereas if the AFL was playing, well, then there's a, not so much potential, but a reality that crowd will be reduced because the people will watch it on the television or whatever they will do, go to the game even. So it's an interesting discussion, and I know one that the AFL takes is thinking about quite seriously, but the NRL, interesting to note that the NRL played two games on the Good Friday to relatively strong crowds, Joe. So, yeah, it's an interesting one, and I think it's almost a personal preference. No right or wrong answer type thing.
Yeah, I know. I'd be very interested in what our listening audience has to say about it all. You can email us on jointheshow@sportscommunity.com.au. Let us know what you think about sport, playing sport, participating in sport or running sporting events on Good Friday or Easter Monday. Whether you think it's a good idea or whether you think we should leave it as sacrosanct and respect the Christian faith that celebrates holidays on that particular day. So
we also look at it, Joe, on the Facebook page at facebook.com/sportscommunity.com.au, where I took a photo of the massive crowd and we've also got that conversation going there and as well. But it's interesting because this is a rare week in the way that the sports fixturing has come about, because it's got Anzac Day in there as well, this week as well. So Good Friday is on one Friday, and then the very next Friday is Anzac Day. So there's also those discussions about at a local level whether we should be playing on Anzac Day or whether that's not so much disrespectful, but whether it's a good mark of respect to not play and to just leave the day for remembering the sacrifices and the journey that we've come through from a military perspective, Joe.
Absolutely, it's food for thought and a topic of conversation I think everyone's very interested in. Stay tuned; we'll have plenty more for you after the break. Here on Sports Community Radio with your hosts, Steve Pallas and Joe Novella.
Hi, I'm Jack, and my dad is Pete from the Mornington and Rosebud Chelsea stores. My dad has been really busy lately helping customers get the right home bundle, internet and mobile phone plans. But it's not just my dad. All the staff are really friendly and ready to help. So drop in and see the team at Telstra store in Mornington and Rosebud.
Or call us on 1300-MY-TELSTRA. That's 1300-698-357.
And in the meantime, I'm off to kick the footy with Dad.
Hey Jack, kick it to me.
A station sponsor.
No matter what the news.
Heard an almighty bang.
It hit so fast.
The ground was shaking.
Local.
People running up and down screaming.
There was glass everywhere.
I can't believe this is happening.
National.
Australia's drought is over.
He is now the Wizard of Oz.
International.
There it is. A fantastic game.
Are we ready?
Magnificent.
It was a dream come true.
Hear it all on RPFM.
Dreaming of a place which is abundant with fresh fruits, herbs and vegetables, cheeses, seafood, bread, cakes and many other regional delicacies? Well, stop dreaming, as the Farmers Market in Mornington has all that and a whole lot more. Enjoy freshly made coffee and ready-to-eat food in an environment which the kids will love. Open every second Saturday of every month from 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. $2 per adult. Children are free. The Farmers Market Mornington, a station sponsor.
More and more people with a taste for quality are shopping at Eliza Meats. Kevin and his lean team pride themselves on the finest cuts. From juicy steaks and roasts to high-grade mince and sausages. And Eliza Meats are the gourmet specialists. Inquire about Eliza Meats Spit Hire. Phone 9787 4473 for a mouth-watering meal fit for a king. It's all at Eliza Meats. See our sponsor Kevin at Eliza Meats, 112B Mount Eliza Way, a station sponsor.
It's the weekend, the footy's on, the big men are flying, and you need something to satisfy that hunger. Baked In is the real deal. Baked In have a range of mouth-watering, piping hot pies, scrumptious gluten-free cakes and breads. Three locations, Sorrento, Portsea and Blairgowrie. Never far away from the action, Baked In is an RPPFM sponsor.
The waiting is over. Watch the big men fly. Don't miss a minute of the action. Join Toe Punt Kelly and the boys as they bring you all the excitement of the local football season. RPPFM, your home of local football.
This is Sally from Sweet Pea Cuisine. At Sweet Pea Cuisine, we specialise in sharing knowledge, passion and enjoyment around food. We run cooking classes for kids, teens and adults, present food events and cooking demonstrations, create recipes to highlight your product and style food for the camera. Join me every Tuesday morning on the breakfast program when I chat about all things food on the peninsula. To find out more, visit me at www.sweetpeacuisine.com.au and like my Facebook page, Sweet Pea Cuisine. Stay sweet with Sweet Pea Cuisine, a station sponsor.
Okay, welcome back. You're with Joe and Steve. We're going to be talking top nine ways to reward and recognise your club volunteers. Now, reward and recognition, club volunteers, an immensely, immensely important function of the club, isn't it, Steve?
It is, Joe. And the reason that it is isn't always obvious.
No.
The reason that recognising and rewarding volunteers is so important is it's positive reinforcement of the behaviour that we want to see within the club, people contributing to the running of the club. So we're going to talk about the top nine things to do, and the reality is we could come up with the top 90 things to do because there's that many, so everything's different. But the thing that's not good, that does not encourage or reinforce the behaviour of volunteering within your club, is if the only recognition that you have for your volunteers is at presentation night, once a year, that's not enough to change any sort of behaviour or reinforce to anyone. And to a degree, Joe, I think that mentality of not rewarding volunteers, not recognising volunteers, and only thinking about them once a year, as a generalisation, many, many clubs do it very well. So, by and large, most clubs don't recognise reward volunteers until presentation night. And it's that behaviour or lack of behaviour that actually has led to the culture of people not volunteering.
Yeah, and that is a super point and one that we can't stress enough, that we talk to many, many clubs out there that bemoan the fact that they're losing their volunteers. You know, they move from club to club. The reason that that's happening is because they're not setting up the culture of volunteerism in their club. And to entrench that culture, reward and recognition programs are essential. And, you know, as we go through this top nine, the listeners out there, you guys out there will see that we're not talking about getting out a wad of cash and handing it to someone. It's not about that. You know, payment is part of reward and recognition schemes, but there's a lot of things that you can do outside of payment that will foster a sense of belonging and pride in your club. And the number one is just the simple pat on the back or a kind word or thanks. Now, you must have had a few of those in your time, Steve.
Yeah, well, that would imply I've done something that deserves recognition.
I take that back then.
No, look. Just before we get into the top nine, Joe, I want to get our listeners thinking. I want them just to think for a moment about the amount of recognition and reward that happens within their club. And now I want you to think about the amount of times or the number of times that we recognise and reward the competitors, the players. Potentially we do it on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, in the newsletters, in the match reports, in the paper. We're forever, ever recognising the achievements of the players. So we might as well keep going with the controversial statements here, Joe. Volunteers are by far and away the most important people in your club. If you do not have a president, you do not have a club. All right? So it's not a chicken and egg discussion, Joe. Which comes first, the chicken or the egg? I have no idea. Which comes first? The committee. They are volunteers. So in a level of importance, if we're going to be brutally honest about what's the most important function within the club, it's the volunteers. Then there's an argument to say, well, is it the players and the competitors? Well, or is it the umpires and the officials and the referees? Equally important. And we should always recognise that we're not saying that we should reduce the amount of accolades that the players get and the recognition. And I believe we should certainly increase the recognition that the umpires and the officials and the referees get. But if the volunteers are the most important people in the sustainable longevity of your club and the success in your club, then I think it's a pretty good rule of thumb, Joe, that we should be recognising the pursuits of the volunteers at the same time that every single time that we recognise the players. Mm. So that means if we're doing a press release about the players, we also put a general press release about the general playing scores for the weekend, then we should put the volunteers in. If we're doing match reports after the game, we should start with the volunteers and highlighting some of the outstanding efforts that have happened that week. And that's a completely different mindset. And probably, and now throwing a little bit of defence the club's way now, because traditionally the work has been done by the committees. So for the committees to be recognising the volunteers, it's the committees recognising themselves. So that's a little bit, a little bit arrogant in some respects. But now to run a club, even the smallest of clubs, takes so many more people than the committee. It really takes everybody. And some clubs do it really well. Look at Life Saving, look at Little Athletics and individual clubs around town and around the sports. Some do it exceedingly well, but most don't. Most, it's the committee members that do the bulk of the work. So we need to change that mindset. So recognition and reward is a really strong way of changing that behaviour. And Joe, your number one point, pat on the back, kind word, thanks. It doesn't need to be public.
No.
We just can't have the volunteers feeling like they've been taken for granted.
That's right.
When was the last time that we went and thanked the team that in the canteen?
Yep.
You know, so many times when I was working with footy, you'd see the players just throw their jumpers in the middle of the change rooms because the person that was washing them would come in and pick them up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a perfect example of because we learn to take advantage or not to consider the people who are working behind the scenes, especially if you've come up through the club as a player. But you know, pat on the back or a kind word doesn't cost you anything.
No, that's right.
It takes a split second, but the effect is long lasting.
And it doesn't necessarily, in today's day and age, Joe, that concept of a pat on the back doesn't necessarily mean verbal anymore. Like imagine if there's talk about the person working in the canteen. And one of the young kids comes up, takes a photo, puts it on Facebook. How good is Joe Novella going? Great work, Joe Novella, in the canteen at the Mount Martha Junior Football Club.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, that recognition itself, and that doesn't come from a president or whatever. Just the act of recognition is very powerful, and it will create that ripple effect that we're looking for.
Yep, absolutely. Number two is recognition at club events. Now, I want to tell the listeners a story here, Steve, that we heard on our trip to the Northern Territory. It was a really powerful one for me. It was one of those moments that kind of just stops you in its tracks or stops you in your tracks and gives you pause. And it's often the simple messages that have the most profound effect. And this is what it was for me, where we were told the story of a lady who'd been volunteering at her club for 50 years, and then unbeknownst to her, she was invited to an end of year event where she was presented with a lifetime achievement award. She broke down in tears and was so proud of that award. Now, it wasn't a monetary award. It wasn't anything like that. It was a plaque. Mm-hmm. And the fact that she was recognised by the club in that manner, she said, was one of the proudest moments of her life. Now, this is the power of reward and recognition. This is what we're talking about, that you can make someone feel so valuable by doing it.
Yeah, we heard another story. I thought you were going to tell another story there for a minute, Joe, where unless we take the time to look at what people are contributing, we often don't see what they're contributing to the clubs. And the one that captured, that was a very touching story when we were told that in the session, but the one that grabbed me, that I was staggered about, and it wasn't a big deal, it was just a throwaway line, was the fact that and I will name her, Jackie from Gingilly, again, Gingilly BMX Club. They came to all of our sessions in Darwin. She said she'd been volunteering for 12 years, Joe, and had not once seen her children race.
Oh, yes, yes.
You know, so imagine the amount of work that she is doing for that to happen.
Yeah.
You know, so we've got to make sure that no matter whether the act of volunteering is that selfless sacrifice or whether it's just the youngest member taking out the balls or taking out the rubbish or bringing in the goal post pads if it's a netball game or basketball game, we need to find ways to reward them. So club events is very, you know, you think of little Johnny who you've asked, your president, and you've asked little Johnny to, he's 10 years old. Can you take the rubbish out? 12 years old, mate. Can you take the rubbish out? No, don't want to. But imagine if we get up before we do anything at the club event, maybe before we talk about the players or anything. Little Johnny, I just want to thank you so much for taking out the rubbish. You know, little 12-year-old Johnny all of a sudden has been recognised in front of his peers. His friends have gone, hey, why aren't you talking about us like that? You know, it becomes really cool.
Absolutely.
Number three, Joe. Sorry, just step back to the microphone.
That's all right.
Radio Craft 101. Number three, what is it, Joe?
Well, number three on the top nine ways to reward and recognise your club volunteers is what you touched on earlier, which is to recognise in your club's newsletters and social media. So, you know, why not have a Volunteer of the Month article in your club newsletter? And the thing about having that is you write an article with a picture of a club volunteer who's the Volunteer of the Month or has done something outstanding. You can then use that article on your website. You can also use it on your Facebook. So, you know, you only have to write it once and you can use it in a number of different ways. And that's a great way to recognise and reward your volunteers just by giving them a little bit of a profile around the club, because, you know, Steve mentioned the faceless man and woman that comes in and picks up the jerseys after you've played the game, or the one who chops the oranges in the canteen. The people that we don't know about, that we never hear about at the clubs, but the ones that are working behind the scenes, well, give them a face, you know, put them on your... put them on your newsletter, put them on your club website. It's a great way of doing it.
And that recognition, Joe, doesn't have to be because they've done a big job.
No.
It could just be a simple job as running down the street to buy sausages because you've run out of sausages on your barbecue. It could be a simple job as taking the balls out for training. You know, it's just recognising and reinforcing the behaviour that we want more and more people to do. So, because in the absence of someone taking out the balls or bringing back the balls, it's the president that's doing this work or the committee that's doing the work.
Absolutely. So the first 3 points haven't been material at all in nature. It's just been words or gestures. Now we get into some of the more material ways we can reward and recognise, and a very traditional way of doing that is to provide your volunteers with gifts or vouchers. So, you know, we're talking nights at the Gold Class, or you might want a massage day spa type ticket or scenario. You might provide discounts on goods and services that your sponsors provide. So any of those means that you have at your disposal are often a good way of just rewarding someone who's gone outside, has gone the extra mile to do something for the club, and sometimes just a bottle of port or a bottle of wine or a half a dozen beers is a great way to reward and recognise your volunteers.
Well, and certainly for some really outstanding volunteer efforts, when we're talking nights out and sometimes trips away and those sorts of rewards. But even your night at the Gold Class Cinema, Joe's a really good example of something that costs $20 or the like, is what you're giving them is you're giving back time. You know, they have been selfless with their time, and so you've given them back some time. You've given them something cool to do with their time. So there's two things there. They get the recognition when it's handed over, but they also get the recognition and the time to reflect when they actually cash in the reward that they've been given. So that's very powerful. For some clubs, it becomes expensive if you've in some cases, but it don't underestimate that giving something back to them that they would value and enjoy. And it doesn't have to be something that costs money. It could be access to an AFL game, or into the coach's box, or into the change rooms to listen to the coach talk at an AFL game or an NRL game or whatever the sport is, or could be that money can't buy scenario too, Joe, that just the act of recognising and then giving something back, not taking for granted, I think's the key behaviour we're looking for.
Yep, you're with Steve and Joe here on Sports Community Radio, 98.7 FM, 98.3 FM in Frankston, RPPFM is the station, your Peninsula Radio. Now, we're talking top 9 ways to reward and recognise your club volunteers. And number 5, my friend, is a recognition plaques or pavers. It's something that I talk about with clubs, and often I hear, oh, I didn't know that you could do that. Well, I wasn't aware that you could do that. Yeah. What we're talking about here is a plaque or a paver, a brick that you can have a volunteer's name inscribed upon when you're building some kind of memorial wall or a team of the century wall or something around the club. And it's a really great way to reward outstanding volunteering at your club, because what it does is it leaves a legacy as well.
Yeah, and you can throw in honour boards there.
Honour boards, yes.
Yeah, in those sorts of, yeah, creating the legacy. Not only does it recognise that volunteer, I mean, and there's got to be volunteer-related criteria to achieve this, Joe, but not only does it recognise that volunteer, but it also inspires the rest of us, and it gives us something to aspire to. So we're from sport. We love scoreboards. Everything we do is about a scoreboard. So put it up on a board, put it in a brick, put it there to give everyone else something to aspire to. So again, it has that double-edged benefit, if you like. It's recognizing and acknowledging and certainly not taking for granted the individual, but then it also has the ability to inspire everyone else to those behaviors that we're looking for.
Yeah, and look, there's companies out there that specialize in that, in providing that kind of service. A signature engraving, I think, is one that...
There's certainly one that we've got pavers and bricks on our website.
Yeah.
As a
starting point, yeah. The next one, number six, is reward points scheme. So these are growing in popularity at clubs. And basically, you think about your frequent flyers, this is the same principle. So airlines reward their frequent flyers with points, which then they can redeem for gifts or flights. Same principle at clubs. We met a club in the NT that was trialling, I think, this kind of program. And basically, the volunteers get certain points for executing certain tasks and roles around a club, which at the end of the season they can redeem at presentation night.
Now they're redeeming in the auction, Joe.
And in the auctions, and it works fantastically well for them. And I actually love this idea. I think it's a great idea.
Well, again, it's linking to something we know very well, which is a scoreboard,
mm-hmm.
or an honour board, or a tally board. It was interesting listening to the club, and I guess this is the second or third club that's looking to link points to activities that we've seen in the last probably 6 months, and then looking at ways they then convert those points to benefits and the club in the territory. And the club just escapes me at the moment, but the club, yeah, did. They converted the points to dollars at the auction night, so you could then bid with dollars at the auction night for that you'd earned through your volunteer time, which I thought was incredibly clever.
Mm.
And really worthy of some consideration.
Absolutely, absolutely. Number seven is to recognise your volunteers in the wider community. So, and what we mean here is you spend time recognising your volunteers at your club, but if you want to give them a little bit of extra recognition, well then recognise them in the wider community, and that's through local media. So, you know, maybe you could possibly get a story written on your Volunteer of the Month or Volunteer of the Year, or a volunteer that's done an extraordinary amount of work or a lifetime achievement, something along those lines. You can have a story written in the local paper, or better still, Steve and I bang on about this all the time, write the story yourself, add a few pictures and contact the editor. And more often than not, the local papers will run these kind of stories. They're community issues. So it gives the volunteer extra recognition, and also great for the brand of your club, because you're getting your club out there and people out there can see just how much you care for your volunteers, which is a great message as well.
Yeah, and what it does, Joe, for you keep going with your local radio, local newspaper analogy, it gets the story into the front of the paper, not just the sports pages. It becomes a human interest story, which is much more likely to actually get into the newspaper, because there's 20 pages at the front of the paper and there's 2 pages for sport. So if we continually to link these things to sport, well, we're all fighting to get into 2 or 3 pages, but a lot easier to get into those 20 pages. And Joe, we've just come back from the territory, and the stories that we heard of what volunteer, like, to volunteer week in, week out at a BMX club and not to see your kid racing is an extraordinary story, you know, of sacrifice. Oh, no, not so much sacrifice, but the work that Jackie does is extraordinary. And we were interested, and we come from Melbourne, you know, so her community is certainly going to be interested in that story. And you know, that's a really, really fantastic recognition for Jackie to be publicly. Any time that we publicly recognise someone is very special. But again, it's got that it gives another opportunity to inspire and inspire people to aspire to help her.
Yeah, and hopefully we've also given her the tools to change that situation too, so she can watch her son in the future, because it's not an ideal situation. But okay, number eight is nominate your volunteers, your club club volunteers for awards. Now, you can easily, the listeners out there can easily plug a volunteer award into Google and you'll get plenty of them. Most local newspapers run a volunteer award. You've got certain peak bodies. When we talk about peak bodies, you often hear us refer to that term. We're talking about the organisations that run your sport. They often have volunteering awards. I know that happens in football, soccer. There's local government and state government, national and federal government awards often for volunteers. So scan the papers and the media for those kind of awards and nominate your volunteers for those awards. I mean, we nominated one of our coaches at one of the clubs I was involved with for the Coach of the Year award at the Football Federation of Victoria, and the fella actually won it, and he was amazed. He was completely blown away, and the power of doing that was amazing. So, you know, make sure that you take advantage of these and do nominate people from your club.
Absolutely. Volunteer organisations like Volunteering Australia, Volunteering and their state-based associations also offer a whole lot of formal recognition. And that's really what we're talking about here, isn't it, Joe? Just that formal recognition. Because there's two lots of recognition there. Just the act of nominating someone, even if the application goes no further than the nomination process, just the act that your club took the time to nominate a volunteer is recognition to that volunteer that they're appreciated.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Last on the list, many of people would have...
Controversial, Joe, controversial.
Many people possibly might have put this first, is payment as a way and means to reward and recognise your volunteer. Now, whether you like it or not, it's indisputable that more and more clubs are using this method to reward, recognise and retain their volunteer workforce. So they no longer become volunteers then, they become paid employees, but it can take many forms. It can be one-off payments. It can be many different ways to do it in this fashion. So it's happening a lot more out there, and I'm not a big fan of this way of rewarding and recognising your volunteers. I understand that clubs are doing it to attract, doing it because they feel desperate, and the only way that they feel that they can attract more volunteers and retain them at the club is to pay them. But that only works until the club down the road offers them more money. So you're not really building a legacy or a sense of belonging to your club, and it's quite brittle, the relationship that establishes.
Well, I was asked this. Actually, Mark Fine on SEN Radio asked me this very same question. What do I think of the trend of clubs going down the paid employees route? And I think, and by and large, I think they're going down for the wrong motives. I think they're going down that path because they don't know how to engage their membership within create that volunteering culture. So their last resort is to just pay for the tasks. And allow me to generalise here, to use a couple of sports as an example of where I think it has not helped them in retaining that culture of volunteering. If we look at golf clubs, which are now almost all of them are run predominantly by paid employees. And therefore, there is a mindset, and again, I generalise and apologise to those clubs that this isn't a fact, where the players just rock up, they pay, they play, and they don't believe that there's any expectation on them to participate to the running of the club. And with the exception possibly of a little bit of fundraising or a little bit of administration of the sport, pennant committees and green committees and those sorts of things, which is the directly linked to the game itself. But in those sports, in golf clubs and bowls clubs could be equally guilty of this characteristic. We see the level of volunteering within their membership base to be extraordinarily low, and particularly when we compare it to those like Life Saving and Little Athletics, where almost all of the participants are involved in the running of the club. So yes, and Joe, I commend you for putting payment on this list, because yes, payment is a way of recognising and rewarding volunteers, and particularly when they've got their own out-of-pocket expenses. But it should not be done. Well, it's unsustainable, as you've mentioned, if you're doing it to cover up the fact that you have no volunteers. That should be treated as a short-term fix, but when you go down that path, it's incredibly difficult to go backwards. So if you go down that path of significant payment for tasks that traditionally have been done by volunteers, got to work very hard to make sure that you're continuing to develop that culture of volunteering within your club, because otherwise you're limiting the capacity of your club to the number of paid employees that your club has, which is where it starts to work in your club's detriment. So, Joe, a fantastic top nine that you've put together. If you just I guess run through it in summary form for myself and our avid listeners.
Okay, so the top nine ways to reward and recognise your club volunteers, and we hope these give you some ideas on how you can do it yourselves at your club. Is number one, a pat on the back, simple but powerful and effective. And that includes kind words or thanks as well. Recognition at club events for number two. So promoting your volunteers at your presentations, trivia nights, those kind of things. Recognition in newsletters and club social media at number three. So volunteer of the month articles, Facebook posts, those kind of things. Number four, gifts and vouchers, I should say, night at the movies, visit to the day spas, a bottle of wine for volunteers that go the extra mile. Number five is recognition, plaques, pavers, honour boards, powerful way to recognise your volunteers and also create a legacy which they can then be proud of and really feel proud of the work they've done at the club and have that sense of belonging to the club forever and ever. Number six, a growing in popularity in terms of reward and recognition at grassroots sports clubs is reward point schemes, so similar to frequent flyer schemes, where you reward your volunteers for tasks that they complete, which then they can redeem at auction nights and around the club. Number seven is recognising your volunteers in the wider community by creating stories to be published in local media or even having them interviewed on local radio and getting them exposed to more than just your club community. Number eight is nominating your volunteers for awards. There's plenty of those awards run by governing bodies out there. Just Google them. There'll be plenty of them, and make sure you nominate your volunteers who've done outstanding jobs for those. And last but not least is the often controversial payment method for rewarding and recognising your volunteers. So we hope those strategies help you out at your club. And thanks for your listening.
You're listening to Sports Community Radio with your hosts, Steve Pellis and Joe Novella, another Sports Community digital production, courtesy of www.sportscommunity.com.au.
Okay, we're rapidly coming to that time again, the end of the show. It's been a pleasure hosting the radio show for you out there this week. We hope that you've enjoyed it. So on behalf of myself, Joe Novella,
and myself, Steve Pellis, thank you for having us part of your sports community.